let's go to Mark 4:26. We're going to stay at this altitude until we land this plane safely. God's going to help us do that. Woo, I felt a quickening. It's just an anointing right here. Feels good. I'm going to bring it with me back over here. Hallelujah. I think you're going to like today. I think you'll enjoy this. Mark 4:26, we're real familiar with it. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed on the ground. He sleeps at night and is awake during the day. The seeds sprout and grow, although the man doesn't know how. The ground produces grain by itself. First the green blade, I keep wanting to quote King James here, stop. First the green blade appears, then the head, then the head full of grain. As soon as the grain is ready, he cuts it with a sickle because the harvest time has come. So he cuts it with a sickle because the harvest has come. Now, just maybe if you're new or you need to be reminded, the law of seed time and harvest was instated in the book of Genesis. It's in Genesis 8:22 saying, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It's going to continue. And you're like, well, you know, that just kind of sounds like natural things. No, seed time and harvest is both natural and spiritual, because we then go to the New Testament and we look at Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. That's spiritual, right? It says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh, and he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what we know because of the law of seed time and harvest is nothing just happens. Look at somebody and say, nothing just happens. You know, people say, you know, we're slow at that. We need to say it. You ready? Nothing just happens. Woo, that's pretty good. Just playing. You know, people say this, well, this happened for a reason. Well, it happened for a reason. Well, you know, this probably happened for a reason. Well, you know, there's a truth in that. Things do happen for a reason. But usually they're suggesting that some divine providence caused a problem to happen. That's usually when they bring it up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you probably lost that, you know, because God needed you to. No, no. Things happen for a reason, for this reason. Because you made a bad choice or you made a good choice, and then it happened. Someone else made a bad choice or a good choice, and something happened. And then you live in a dark world and bad things happen, or you can live in the kingdom of God and good things will happen. Amen. And so life is choice driven. I've been telling y'all that every week. Life is choice driven. Make the right choices and believe God, and you will have a good outcome. Amen. That's what we have to do. So seed time and harvest is a wonderful law if you know how to use it. You just need to know how to use it. We sow good seeds and good deeds, and we reap a good harvest. The harvest is voice activated. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you really need to get my next statement. Why do we need to say anything to get the harvest in? Because we know we sowed the seed with words, our deeds, or whatever. We know we sowed, the sower sows the word. We understand that we sowed and we use words. But why do you need it to reap the harvest? Seems like, you know, you do something bad, you just reap what you sow. And nobody's going around saying, you know, man, I lied and I cheated and now I'm reaping. Lord, come on, I want a harvest on that. No, you're running and saying, Lord, I come to the throne, I plead the blood of Jesus, and I command a crop failure over that thing I said or judged or did. You immediately want to get rid of that. So we know there's power in the crop failure. Amen. But why? Why do we need to say something? Because there's an enemy who is a God, the God of this world. The God of this world, your stuff is trying to get through to you right now. But the God of this world is trying to put a hold on it. He wants to hold it back and keep the finances and the good things in the hands of other people. And you have to get above him. And the way to get above him is to use the authority that God gave you and use words and declare it, and he'll have to get out of the way. So we have to understand that this voice activation stuff is important. Yes. Satan just doesn't want you to have anything. So declaring and decreeing. Job 22:28 says, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your path. Religious people wince at this. They wince at this. They don't want to hear it. They think that we're ordering God around, and the God of the universe, you know, they're just trying to order God around. No, we're trying to allow God into the situation. We're trying to give God access. Yeah. Because in the beginning, God gave man the earth. He right. gave the lease to Adam. He doesn't have the authority. Spirits aren't allowed in the earth. Earth suits, if you're in an earth suit and you have a birth certificate, you have authority on this earth.
That's right. Amen.
God gave it to man to have dominion.
True. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to use that dominion. Mm-hmm. We have to exercise our authority. Bring the kingdom in. Override the darkness. Mm-hmm. So many people just miss who God is and what he did. He's a creator. He's a speaking spirit. Amen. And he made you a speaking spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam gave away our authority, but Jesus got it back. So if you're a Christian, not all people, but if you're a Christian, you have authority over the enemy.
Right. That's right.
This never gets old. We all need to hear it over and over and over. But think about it. He created Adam, and he gave Adam the ability to speak. He gave him the ability to speak, think, and speak, and use words. You name the animals. That's what he said. You do it. He said, frog, giraffe. He did. Amen. And guess who named Eve? Adam did. That wasn't her name. They were Ish and Isha. Mm-hmm. That's who they were. But he began to call her mother of all, whatever it is. What is it?
Mother of all living.
Thank you. And so he named her Eve. And so, we need to understand that. So the law of seed time and harvest is based on words. The sower sowed the word. The reaper declares he has his harvest. Now, when Jesus came in contact with the fig tree, it said something to him. Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Deb and Margaret believe it.
Yeah.
All right. So you can look at something and it'll talk to you.
Right.
Am I right? You can look at something and it talks to you.
Yeah.
Look at a painting.
Oh yeah.
I have a painting in my home called Kindred Spirits. Mm-hmm. I look at it all the time. Every day. I love that painting. Deb had it commissioned for me, had it painted for me. It's actually a very famous painting that was sitting in the Smithsonian, and I love the painting, and she gave it to me, I think for a birthday or something, or just because she's my friend. But that picture is a story. That painting is a story. Walk with me just a little bit on this. So now, Randy Rudman painted these pictures. There's scripture on these. Okay, one of them Psalm 91, and the other's the one the words that are in the mezuzah, I believe. Okay, so everybody's looking at them. Aren't they pretty? They're beautiful. Randy is a good artist, but they're saying something. So now follow me, and you'll get a little something prophetic as we go along here. Paintings can move you. Now there's something downtown at Beloved. That's if you go down there, that moves you.
Yeah.
Does it move you?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going Wednesday. A group of us are going Wednesday. And, cause I haven't been yet. But I know about it. I've known for a long time. But, that moves you, right?
Yeah.
Well, there are actually, famous painters who actually in many years ago, back when they were alive, they knew each other and they would intersect in life. Van Gogh and Paul Gauguin intersected at what they called Studio B. They actually knew each other, and they're not my kind of art, but I'm interested in their story. You would know Van Gogh because he painted what? What? Starry Night, right. So, but they passed each other, and Van Gogh was a Christian and Gauguin was not. But then when you see them cross paths, somehow you see Gauguin start shining a little different. So there was an intersection in the story, and their pictures, if you could see the exhibit together, which I saw that when I was in Chicago, that you could see how their lives changed when they met each other. I'm giving you a big hint here about something. There are people in your lives that you intersect with that will change your story. Okay, and these things are speaking to you. Don't let go of them so quickly. Now, that fig tree says this. Well, I'm a religious hypocrite. That's what that fig tree said. Now you're like, well, I never did get that thing about the fig tree. Jesus was walking from Bethany to Jerusalem to the temple every day. Back and forth, back and forth. This was before Palm Sunday. He was out at Mary and Lazarus and Martha's house. And they stayed out there in Bethany, and he would walk back and forth, and he would go into town or to the city, and he would preach, and he saw so much going on in the temple that wasn't worship. It was just religious stuff.
Yeah.
It was just religious stuff. That's all that's going on there. And so he sees that all going on, and you know the story, how eventually he went over there and turned some of it over, and he began to change some things. Sometimes things need to be changed. But the fig tree was just like that. The fig tree said, I have all these pretty leaves, but I don't have any fruit. That's what the religious people of that day were doing. They weren't healing people. They were walking around in their royal Sanhedrin stuff and praying loud enough so everyone thought they were holy. They could quote all the scriptures. That's what that fig tree was doing. There was no fruit on it. So Jesus said, nobody's eating any fruit of you. You're done. It's over. The fig tree was speaking, and Jesus took authority over the fig tree. You get my point now. You get where I'm going. All right. So Jesus changed things at the intersection. Y'all thought I just wanted to talk about Van Gogh, didn't you? No. Jesus changed things at the intersection. They come up on this thing. They see. Listen to me, church. They see it's not producing. So they make a change. He made a change. This is not producing what it should produce, so we're going to make a change. Now, and man, what happened right after that? Dun-da-da-dun, Mark 11:23.
Wow.
Here it goes, and now we've got the words to use to do whatever needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, there it is. And then Jesus just taught them right there. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed to be cast into the sea, it should obey you because you're using an authoritative command launched from the Spirit. Remember we talked about that a couple of months ago about what that launch meant. It meant boldness. It meant it was purposefully going towards something.
Yeah.
And so Jesus taught that right there. So at that intersection, things changed for them.
Yeah.
So what happens when you come to these places? He that hath an ear, let him hear. When you come to these places, you're either going to produce something in one realm or the other. I don't know about you, but I'm going with the glory realm.
Yes.
I'm going with the heavenly realm.
Yes.
No more low level blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
It's not doing what we want it to do. You can have what you say. People get home at night and say, man, I'm just tired as a dog. Well, maybe it's because you growled all day. Thank you, Deb, for laughing at my joke. So today you may be at an intersection. Just decide today, which realm are you going to empower? Are you going to empower your poverty? Are you going to empower your prosperity? Are you going to empower love? Are you going to empower hate? Are you going to empower decline or progress? Because it's going to be up to you when you come to these places and something's speaking to you and something's blaring at you and you can't see it and it looks like it's so big. Are you going to get up and take authority and do what's right with your spirit man? Are you going to suck up and say, that hurt my feelings. He said, she said, blah, 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 blah. Are you going to go forward?
We're going to go forward.
Or whatever the case may be. I don't know why I'm so broke. I don't know why. Well, I know why. You keep saying, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm preaching like Brother Copeland back in the 80s.
Good. Come on.
It's been a whole day like that.
We need it.
Wish I could sing like that, but praise the Lord. Anyway. So, what are you talking to today? Because I can tell you there is one thing, I know most of you, there is one thing that is talking to you, actually it's crying to you. Wages. Wages. Wages are crying. Justice wants to be given to you. James 5:4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Listen to the New Living Translation. This will help you. Listen. Hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages who held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's army. The wages are crying out. And the ones who sowed cry out. Remember we said, Marco, Polo, here I am. We were actually doing that in the store yesterday. We were shopping and Deb said, where are you? I said, Marco. We're in the dressing rooms down from each other. Marco, okay. So, but if you call out, you're going to get to that person. I'm over here. I'm over here. I'm over here. Hey, Harvest, here I am. Harvest, I hear you. You're looking for me. Now look, you may not be like Jacob. Jacob got cheated by his boss. That may not be the case. But you have a harvest for sowing financial seed, time, good deeds in the kingdom. And it's the darkness itself. Maybe the economy's trying to grab you. Maybe it's something you're doing. I don't think we could just automatically just say, the devil! But, whatever it is, he's influenced it. And so whereas you may not actually, you may have gotten your paycheck every week. Maybe nobody owes you any money. That's good. You don't have it on paper. But the enemy, the darkness, owes to give you up what is yours.
That is right.
Praise the Lord. Now listen, the darkness has tried to keep it. But here's the secret behind that. He has stored it up, according to the scripture, for the last days. And we're in the last days. And so the Bible says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So all of the cartels that are stacking up money in warehouses are getting all your money together.
Come on.
Amen. I love a John Avanzini story. This is a good place to tell it. So he's at the airport. He's coming out of the airport and he hails a cab and the cab comes over and he opens the door and this guy comes out in this, beautiful Baroni suit with a nice briefcase and he's like, I gotta go. I got a meeting. I gotta go fast. I mean, you know, this guy is just a businessman, head to toe, ready to go somewhere. And John Avanzini opens the door to his own cab and he goes, Hey, go ahead and take my cab. Get in. Go. He slams the door and the guy goes, thank you. And he says, you're working for me.
Yeah. Come on.
Now that's a good way to think, that the whole world is working for you and you're going to get your stuff.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
And your seed is working for you. It's your employee.
Yeah. That's so good.
It's time for it to come into your hands. Job 27:16 said, though he heap up silver as dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on. The just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver.
Oh, wow.
Praise the Lord. I'm speaking to all those silver and gold people in here. I know you're in here. Praise the Lord. Now, you go in here and you get these verses and you work them. I'm not going to do it for you right now. But these will get what you want out of the realm and cause it to manifest in the natural, and it'll come to you.
Yes.
All the resources are already here, church.
Yes.
It's already here. The spirit part's got to get in it and bring it.
Yeah.
You know, every baby that's born is a little spirit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're not coming, and then the little spirit's getting in them. It's in there. Boom.
Yeah.
I hope y'all got that anyway. Okay. I'll just say this now. Now you can see that this is vengeance rides in this too, can't you? Okay. Now, you can't totally blame the enemy, for you not getting what is yours if you're not going to use your authority. He's trying his best, but he never, never wins unless you let him or empower him. He won't win. So keep that in mind. So if you start feeling sorry for yourself and you think that mean old devil has your stuff, you need to get yourself up and take back what he stole from you. You can sing that song. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. They're all singing it out here. That's a good song, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So get it back. Now, it's not just about saying the right thing. It's about stop saying the wrong thing.
Okay.
Hey, you know, the tongue is so little. It doesn't weigh very much. Yet so many people have a hard time holding it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deb, for laughing at my joke. Okay. I think they're getting worse now, but anyway. But we're talking about the harvest here. And look, particularly on these days, we're talking about finances. We're talking about all harvest. We're talking about finances. And so I want to go somewhere here with you. I want to talk to you just, a little bit here about responsibility. So let's go over to Mark 10:23 and we will start going around the corner here. Mark 10:23. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here? You're going to win? Have you won? You got it? You're prosperous? You're right. If you've ever prospered, you can do it again.
That's right.
It'll come right back to you. Mark 10:23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, now this is after he's dealt with the rich young ruler, okay? We know these verses. Looked at his disciples, how hardly those having riches will enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his saying, and we're not going to talk about the details of that. I'll explain that to you later. But Jesus answering again said to him, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich one to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying to themselves, well, who can be saved? Okay, so if they're astonished, that means they had some money. Because if they didn't, they'd be going, oh, yes, I'm a holy poor person. No, they're not doing that. They're like going, right? Okay. Now, Jesus, looking at them, said, with men it's impossible, but with God. It's possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, hey, Jesus, we left all and we followed you. And Jesus answered and said, truly I say to you, there is no man that has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Okay, so we know that with God all things are possible. So in other words, you don't want to do it the world's way. You want to do it God's way. That's his point here. And then you can work the kingdom. Now, I want to talk to you about the big test. Here's the big test. We see Jesus talking about money in sobering terms here. He said it was hard for the wealthy to enter the kingdom. It's also written that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah. We know that money is a tool. It's either neither good nor bad. It just all depends on who's handling it,
right.
Who's got it, who's dealing with it, which makes it good or bad. So I wanted to say a couple of things to you. And this is a big one for you. We must learn the difference between what's in our account and what's in our possession. What's in our account and what's in our possession. All things have been given to me and they are in my account right now. All those good deeds, all that harvest and all that, it's in my account. It's in my account, okay? Now, but I'm only able to use the measure that I'm qualified for in my surrender to God's purposes.
Okay.
Do you get that? Let me say that again. I'm only able to use the measure I'm qualified for in my surrender to God's purposes. So God's going to fill up and bring into my possession knowing how I handle it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So because I am commissioned, I'm commissioned to the same degree, I'm submitted to his primary mission.
That's good.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Now, this is true with favor. Understand, church, understand. When God gives people favor, are you listening to me? When God gives people favor, it's because he loves the people who are under the influence of that person. Okay? It's not just, hey, I have favor. I just have favor. No. He loves the people that I influence. Think about Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry is the favor king in the world. Brother Jerry Savelle. And what happens when we listen to him? I've heard the stories for 35 years. I love to hear every one of them again. I love it. I love it. I want to hear them because that favor just drenches me. He's just sowing that favor into my heart. But he has that favor because God loves me.
Amen.
You got that? Okay. So, favor is not about self-promotion then. When favor is given to me, it needs to benefit you.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to benefit the people around me in order for it to be considered favor well stewarded. It's got to be good. Okay?
Good.
Y'all get that?
Yes.
So I'm not trying to take away how much he loves you or loves me and wants to favor us. That's all good. It's right. He does. But we all have a greater purpose. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're not just blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. So your greater purpose is that you're a blessing. But you can't be a blessing if you're not blessed. If you just sour, you're not a blessing. Amen. If you're broke, you're not a blessing. If you don't have any anointing, you're not a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
If a song's not anointed, it's not a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't want the folks to sing I'm so poor and wretched and Jesus, you drug me out of it. I don't know, worship God. Okay? Yeah. So, now understand here, I'm not talking about works or earning. I'm speaking of participation and relationship. So, this is what I'll tell you. Favor is a test. What are you going to do with your favor? What are you going to do with your favor? When you're favored, what are you going to do with it? Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. And then there's authority. What about authority? Every person has a measure of authority, and it's and we are so called to live under authority. And so the authority we display is given to us according to how we respond to those who God has placed over us. I ain't listening to a thing they say. They ain't my boss. You're not the boss of me. Don't worry. I don't have to take your advice. I'm blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I work for that guy, but I ain't doing what he says. Do him a favor and quit.
Yeah. Right.
You're supposed to be for him. See, the trouble nowadays, I'll add my own Roxanne version here, but the trouble nowadays with people that are working is they seem to be working for the paycheck only. And then, you know, well, you know, I'll just, you know, it doesn't matter whether I show up. Doesn't matter whether I do it right. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make if I don't, you know, cause, you know, the boss just, you know how they are. They think they know everything. Hey, if that's you, quit. Back up. Listen to God. Amen. You can tell a lot by what people say. If you'll listen to people, you can tell a lot by what people say. If they're interested in doing what God called them to do, it comes out. So this authority thing, you know, a lot of believers just go, praise God, I've read the Bible. All authority has been given. Yeah, you've heard it. But there's little in their lives to prove it. Once again, what's in your account and what's in your possession? Because you can have authority, but if you can't respond to the authority that is over you, you got a problem.
Yeah.
When you, well, you know, you just have to be mature enough to use what God's given you. If he's given you the authority, be mature enough to use it. What's authority for? I'll just tell you the simplest version. What is authority for? It is to uphold or restore the standard of God in a given situation. That's what it's for. It's to uphold. It's going to uphold it, okay? Or restore the standard of God in a given situation. No, this is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to be. No, y'all need to get out of the road. We have a wreck. That's what the cop's doing who has authority. Excuse me, the police officer. Forgive me. Over here. No, go around. I don't want to go around. If you'll go around, you won't have an accident with the accident, right? He has authority. When they're doing that cross section in the road, which we don't have a whole lot of that anymore, but sometimes they do that. If you'll obey when he does this or she does this, you'll go across safely.
True.
Obey the authority. Now understand, we live in a world where some authority we disagree with. And I can just give you advice on this. Do what the Bible says. Do what God says. Okay. As far as your boss, you can navigate that and you can submit to what God needs to have done there. And God will fill in the blanks for you. Okay. Now, so what is authority? It's a test. Favor's a test. Authority's a test. Now, you're not tested with trouble. You're tested with responsibility. Can you follow? And then here's the last one, resources, which would be financial, etc. A house, maybe, cars, vehicles, equipment, whatever it is, certain people, investors, maybe. The question is, I'm going to ask you this question. We're going to talk about money right here, okay? How much money is too much money? How much money is too much money? Political leaders all around the world are trying to set a standard for us, yet from God's point of view, it is very simple. Too much money is whatever amount replaces trust. Too much money is whatever amount replaces trust. So you may say, you know, I finally have enough. I can retire from now until Jesus comes back and I'm okay. As long as I don't give any of it away. As long as that's not trust. That's not trust. Well, am I telling you not to save? Absolutely not. You need to save, have your IRAs, investments, all that kind of stuff. Certainly do that. God's calling you to do that. But how much, too much money is when you won't trust God. You trust God first. You trust Him first. He will make a way. Amen. And so wisdom attracts wealth of all kinds. Money, favor, opportunities, insights, revelation, knowledge, and much more. It does it by design. Okay? Wisdom does it by design. Remember, wisdom's not just the knowledge you get. It's knowing what to do with what you know, how to navigate. And so knowing the purpose and the proper use of the blessing that's on your life is the real test of obedience. What will you do with it? Who will you be obedient to? You're just going to be obedient to self or to the world, or are you going to be obedient to God? That's the test. Because we're talking about prosperity here now, not you having a lot of money. We're talking about prosperity, which includes a lot of money. But we're talking about prosperity. We're talking about being a giver. We're talking about being a receiver. We're talking about getting your harvest. We're talking about what you're going to do with it. It's all by design. God will give you the wisdom. Jesus told the disciples that those who left everything behind. Now listen to this very mindfully, church. Jesus told them that those who left everything behind to follow Him would obtain 100 times what they gave. Okay? Now, listen to this. That's kind of strange, being as if you read up scripture, that He just told the rich young ruler to give it all away. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't trying to make him be broke. He was trying to get more to him in the right way, because that guy was just trusting money. It's obvious, Danny was pointing this out to me, it's obvious that, you know, there was something going on before that the, the one wasn't required to give it all. You were telling me. Zacchaeus wasn't asked to give it all. Thank you. But this guy was. Why? It was his problem.
Right.
Huh?
A lordship problem.
A lordship problem, she said.
Yeah.
That's right. See?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with me and teaching me that. So what we see, he just said, be careful because money will kill you. It'll keep you from the kingdom. But then he said, if you leave and follow me, I'll give you 100 times as much. Right there in the same conversation. Mm-hmm. It seems strange, but you know, maybe I've exaggerated a little bit, but obedience brings increase.
Amen.
Obedience brings increase. And maintaining the heart of surrender and obedience is what enables us to handle more without destroying us. Jesus is looking for a people who will love not the world so that He can entrust the world to them. So you see, we're disciplined by Jesus. Favor, authority, and resources are all the tests that you're going to have in life. Those are the tests. Can you use your authority? Can you use your delegated authority? Will you use it right? For every person that's ever been on our staff or worked for us, there was a We have a rule. Don't ever take the card to town to get the stuff and you put something else on it. Well, just, I think the church needs this. So I'll go ahead and buy this. And when I get back, I'll give it to Pastor Danny. No, that'll be the last time you ever do it.
Right.
Because we've already told you, you have power to take the card.
Yeah.
John and Amanda have taken the card everywhere, but they come back with a receipt that says exactly what we sent them to get and what the parts they needed, whatever they talked about. And that's a test.
True.
The test is when you're told something private, do you keep it or do you blab it? The test is, are you talking behind your leader, your boss's back? Yeah. Brother Copeland walked in on people talking about him and he just fired them all on the spot. Yeah. You may say, wow, that's strong. Brother Copeland was put in this world to prove many points.
Yes.
And that's one of them.
Yeah.
This is the real way to go. Yeah. This is the way we have to do this. We become obedient to God. We become obedient to those that are our leaders. Now, let me give you an example and then we'll close. How many of you have ever had a flat on your bike? Let me see your hands. You had a flat on. Remember Camel patches?
Uh-huh.
Some of y'all do. They called Camel, remember? Not the cigarette. Camel patches. Everybody's like, yeah, we know about that too. So you take the tube out. This is when they had tubes. I don't even know if they still do or not. You take the tube out, and you put air in it. You put it under water, right?
Yeah.
And then you can see if there's a leak.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you patch it. But you don't put it back in the tire yet. What do? You put it back in the water.
Yeah.
You test it again. You put it back in the water. You tested it twice. Listen, wants to reveal the leak and wants to see if it's fixed.
That's good.
Okay?
That's good.
Now you're testing things.
Amen.
Wants to see where it is. And the next to see if it's fixed. It's really a good point. It's really something we really can use. So the tests we face in life fits into those two categories. There are tests that reveal what needs to change in us and those that prove what God has already done in us. Isn't that good? No, you just stepped over that. No, you just went on. No, you met the challenge. You just did it because you grew there. You grew there. You didn't, oh my God, what are we going to do? My money didn't come. Or, no, I have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, man, I just feel like the whole world's against me. Blah, blah, blah. No, I'm accepted in the beloved and Jesus loves me.
He does. Yeah.
You start coming through these things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Much faster. Good point, Danny. Much faster. So when you get the tube out, find the leak, patch it, and then in a little while test it again. Watch, church, watch for it. I'm watching right now. There's a healing I'm taking, and I am healed, and I ask the Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Well, where are we now? Because I've already been doing some things. And he said, I want you to sow a seed. And I said, okay, where? And he said, watch. And so I'm bugging him about it a couple more times and he said, watch! You'll see it. I'm not going to tell you. Watch for it and you'll sow there and you'll put your receiving in a mode. When you sow, your receiver gets in a mode, doesn't it? I sowed, I receive. Yeah. My harvest comes. So I'm set ready. So watch for that. You get a leak in your bicycle tire? Watch for it. Fix it. Make sure it's not leaking again and ride on. Praise the Lord. You're going to be all right. You're going to get your harvest. You're going to get, I don't even have a job now. I don't even know what I'm going to do. No, your job is confessing every day. Get up, put on your work clothes if you don't have a job. Get up and put your stuff on and go to work with the Bible. Go to work in the Spirit. Declare what you have. Get something out and record it and say it. Go to work where you know to go to work, because it'll be a whole lot faster than you doing anything else. It will. It's faster. I can work and work and work and work, but if I'll start declaring over something, it happens faster.
Right.
I opened my big mouth. I started saying to these guys, I'm like, it's all going too slow. It's just going too slow. We need to do something. Blah, blah. It's going too slow. I was telling John, we're just not moving forward fast enough for me. And I mean, we're all working as fast as we can. There was nothing wrong with our progress. Everybody's working.
Yeah.
So you couldn't say, you know, it's Deb's fault or it's John's fault. It's not a person. It just wasn't going. Okay. And so I had this dawning. Shut up. And I'm telling you, the day dawned and every one of them went, bop, 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 bop. I started marking things off at my desk. Me and Danny, we like to mark stuff off. We did that. We did that. We did that. That's done. Glory to God. And then we did an extra. Thanks to Chris and Larry. I had to fix the leak.
Oh, that's good.
Fix the leak. I also fixed the leak about the healing thing I needed.
Yeah.
I told Deb, as long as I shut up about it,
yeah,
doesn't bother me near as much.
Amen.
But I will get complete full
yes.
healing.
Absolutely.
I know you are standing with me like, is she dying? I'll be here until Jesus comes.
Yeah.
Nothing, there's nothing wrong with me. In fact, I just took a test and I am healthy.
Amen.
Now, you received this today?
I did.
So, understand, come away from religion. We're real good on the clock. Come away from religion. Come away from thinking, well, all the tests are just gonna be, they're just gonna be hard things. Some things are hard, and that's the devil testing you. Some things are just hard because your Isaac's going up the mountain. It's the truth. Except that you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you an example. Keith Moore. Keith Moore built up this whole, him and Phyllis took 20 years and they built up all this wonderful stuff, bought a wonderful house, redid the kitchen, had everything perfect. And the day they finished, God called them to leave it all and move to Branson. Now that's taking your Isaac up.
Yeah.
But look at what happened.
Oh my.
See? My ministry was in another part of the world. But God said, come here and look at what happened. We've ministered to thousands and thousands of people here and traveling. And God can do it. God can do it. He can do whatever you need. Let me see if I have anything I want to say to you here. I think we're done. Oh, good. Thank you for reminding me of that, Lord. The tithe will always be the main test. Here it is. Ready? When you get $10, you'll give one, won't you? But when you get $1 million, are you going to give $100,000? That'll be the test, won't it? Amen. And this one last thing. Brother Roberts actually enlightened us on this years ago, and Brother Copeland brought it forth. Pay yourself. Pay yourself. You're like, well, what do you mean? I mean, pay a savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Give to, when you're bill paying, get your bill paying. Danny's real good about this. She has her accounts and she has this and this and this. She does. And I have the same, but, I don't care if it's a dollar. Pay yourself something. You should pay God 10, you 10, and then pay your bills and do whatever. Mm-hmm. Save something.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the first time in my life I ever had any money, and I'm enjoying it. But save something. That's a test. Put back 5. Put back 10. Mm-hmm. Keep $100 in your wallet at all times.
Yes, yes.
Because then you always can say, I have money. You'll always say, I have money. Yeah, but what if I want to spend it? Then put another one in there real quick. But you'll always have money. I do too, in case I want to give one away. Mm-hmm. You'll always have money. You're like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about perception. Yeah. Do you have any money? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Do you have any worth? Yeah. I belong to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord.